What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we are with Raina Wallace, a solo artist as well now, that we're going to dig into that too, but also bass of the Lowdown Drifters, songwriter, the whole work. So how you doing? How you been doing? Been busy?
Too busy. Just touring nonstop. Drifters, gonna drift, I guess. But here we are.
Yeah, so I saw you were in Nashville recently. How'd that all go?
Oh my goodness, it was a blast. Wasn't there for nearly long enough. Yeah, Duck Blind was a blast. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Awesome. How many times have you been to Nashville?
Playing or visiting?
Playing.
Playing? I think that was our third time.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
So was it just with the Drifters, like, all three times? Or because, like, obviously at the Duck Blind, you did the round yourself. So
yes.
Was this your first time kind of doing your own stuff?
That was my first time playing a Raina Wallace set in Nashville. So that was pretty cool. Shout out to Raise Rowdy for having me.
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. So were you able to, like, write when you were down there? Did you get to meet any songwriters, network, any kind of that? Any kind of things?
Oh, no. No time for anything. It was, like, honestly, it was really cool to do the writer's round, but, like, just getting to play the Ryman the next night, just, it took so much energy and, you know, kind of nervous. Yeah. So didn't really focus on much else besides that.
For sure. Well, let's dig into that a bit, because that's huge. And so what was your experience like when you were up there? Nervous, you said, but, like, were you experiencing any other kind of feelings up there?
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those venues where you can feel the history when you're on stage and it kind of pours through you. I think the only time I really ever felt that was, and again, at the Troubadour, which was also pretty recently. And then I've heard that it's a similar feeling when you play Kane's Ballroom, which we are also getting to play in January, I believe. So
that's nice.
Really checking them all off. I think, like, this past 6 months, I've gotten to almost check off, like, majority of my bucket list venues to get to play as a musician. So there's only a couple left.
Yeah, I assume Red Rocks is probably on there.
It's number one, baby. It's number one. Just, like, come on.
There ain't a place. I've never been there, but I feel like there ain't a place cooler than that.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah, but and you mentioned Kane's. That I was there one time just to watch. I think it was Austin Mead and Mitchell Ferguson.
Okay.
And that, like, if you don't know the history of it, you know, like, you kind of go in, you're like, oh, just another, like, old ass ballroom, I guess. But, like, going in there and really knowing, like, the history behind it and, like, the how much artists like you, like, really put it up there on that pedestal, like, it really makes it special.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Steve Earle, he's one of my biggest songwriting inspirations, and he put it up there too. He said same thing, that it was really one of those places where you could just feel the history when you're standing on that stage. So
yeah, that's awesome. That's going to be fun. So I guess let's back up a little bit just so people get to know you. Let's start with, I guess, how you first got into music, maybe. Or, like, what really wanted to get you in on that?
Oh, geez. Probably because my parents didn't pay enough attention to me.
Oh.
Probably because I needed attention. No, I've always just been, like, a creative type, and this was just another outlet for that. I, you know, it's so weird doing it as a career now because, again, it's just one of the many things that I was interested in. So here we are. And then I got into playing bass basically over quarantine, realistically. Mm-hmm. I'd started to dabble in it a little bit before that. And then, you know, all my friends had bands and played guitar, and they were like, you play bass now. And I was like, I don't play bass. And they're like, you play bass. So that's how that started. And then a year later, the Lowdown Drifters, who I had no idea who they were, played in my hometown of Montana. And the booker for that venue was like, oh, Raina, you gotta meet these guys. They're so fun. They're partying and stuff. And yeah, they were. I just caught the last song because I had a gig earlier that night. And Yeah, we ended up partying, and I brought my upright and a 30 rack because they were out of booze, and I had some, and I showed them my songs and stuff, and I had to leave at like 6 a.m. to catch a flight. And Big John, the lead singer, was like, "Yeah, I think that our bass player is going to quit and go, do his other projects. So it'd be really cool to have a girl in the band that could sing and play bass and write and all that." I was like, "Could I ever call you? If like, would you be interested in working with us?" And I was just like, "Sure, whatever." I never thought I'd hear back from him. Like, there was no way, right, that this guy was ever going to call me again. And then I got a cold call a couple of months later. It was like, "Remember us?" And I was like,
Yeah.
"Really?"
Yeah,
He's like, "Do you want to tour full time and maybe move to Texas?" So I was like, "Sure." So here I am. Yeah.
so where were you before that? Well, it wasn't Idaho, was it? I know you mentioned Idaho like over
No,
email
it's
or something.
Montana.
Oh, Montana, okay.
Yeah.
Same difference, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, maybe don't say that to a Montanan.
Oh, okay, my bad,
Yeah.
Montanians. I don't know. I've never been to either of them, so.
Yeah.
But so I'm curious when you switch to bass, like for someone like me who doesn't play guitar or bass, it seems like guitar would naturally be harder to play, maybe? Or like, was it a big difference? Was it a hard switch? Like, how was that experience like?
Well, I think the thing to know is that in Montana, everything is either like honky tonk, swing, or bluegrass. So I really started on upright bass, which was fun, and it feels good, it sounds good, and I like the rhythm, and it was kind of easy. You're playing one string at a time, and it's root and a fifth, and then throw a walk in, And that's what I was playing when I met the Lowdown Drifters, and I had only really kind of dabbled in electric here and there with a couple different bands, or when I couldn't fit my upright in someone's car on the way to the gig. And when they hired me, I didn't tell them that I didn't really know how to play electric bass,
How'd
or that
that
I didn't really tell them that I had only been playing for like a year and a half either. So fake it till you make it. It's bass.
Yeah.
I used to have like really bad imposter syndrome about it, and then I met every other bassist, and it really cured my imposter syndrome because everyone else was like, "Yeah, we also don't know what we're doing." Turns
Yeah.
out, I was like, "Cool, that's awesome."
So,
So.
with the Lowdown Drifters, I think what when I first discovered you guys, it was a couple years ago, I guess. And the sound always stood out to me because it's not like a lot of stuff in that Texas scene, any scene really, but like Texas, like it could get a little oversaturated, like with the same sound, same style, stuff like that. But I feel like you guys, it's always been like a really unique sound. And like there's some rock elements, there's some definitely, like the country element. So as a member of the band, how would you describe your guys's sound or style?
Oh, geez. I mean, I don't want to roast my own band that hard, but I always say it's like don't know if you know Big John, my lead singer, but
I never talked to him, but I know who he is.
yeah, it's kind of like, the North American bison. You really have no idea how big that creature is until you witness it in person. And that's the thing about Big John. He's not above average size John. He is a, can I curse? He's a big
Yeah, you could
motherfucker.
curse.
He's a big motherfucker. And so like when people are like, "What does your band sound like?" I'm like, "Oh, it's like two Toby Keiths and a
Oh
trench
my God. That's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I'm like, it looks like if Jason Momoa ate Toby Keith.
Fuck.
So if you have not seen a picture of the Lowdown Drifters, look us up. We look like Lord of the Rings. We got a giant, we got a hobbit, hot
Yeah,
elk. Like it's a whole band. It's just like
So I was gonna say like something like I was gonna say like the Island of Misfit Toys, but I didn't know if that would offend anyone. It's just like
that's
differences with everybody. And like, it's kind of funny you say that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how Big John has described the band. I mean, we're very much so family, and yeah, just, I've said it once, I'll say it again. It's like five people that couldn't function in normal society, and we found each other, so here we are.
Right, there you go. Do you guys consider yourselves like a big live band when you compare, like, if you would, versus like your studio stuff or whatever other kind of aspects you want to put into it? Is it like a lot of bands, like their main thing they focus on is the live show? Like, how would you guys, is that kind of how you guys are too?
Well, I'm the newest member of the band, and I've been with them like 3 years. So that should tell you, you know, prior to this last record that just came out, everything had kind of been more studio musicians, and like all the albums that came out were studio musician. And this is the first album in which the touring band itself recorded the entire album. With the exception, we had Drew Herrickel, shout out. He was our keys in the studio. He's kind of, we got a couple honorary drifters that we throw in the mix. So,
right on. That's awesome.
Yeah, this newest album is, I think, the most accurate representation of the drifters, because I think in the past, like, a lot of the recorded material, it's very good and it's very well done, and I really like the songs. But we tour so heavily that the live show, I think, is where it's at. I mean, you got Dirty on guitar, and he's always dressed up, and if it's an outdoor show, you get to watch him chain smoke, so that's real fun for me standing right next to him. but we can get pretty rowdy, and going back to what you're saying about the rhyming and how I felt about it, I don't know, maybe this sounds pretentious, but, you know, I thought about Loretta Lynn and all of, you know, the people to come before me and to play that stage, and feeling more so like I'm a star, I belong there. And that's kind of how I feel when I am on stage, you know, the 90 minutes that I get to play with the guys every night. It's the other, like, 9 hours in the van that kind of kill me.
For sure.
We really do bring it, no matter how tired we are. I mean, I was so sick when we got back from Nashville this past week, and still managed to somehow play Magnolia Motor Lounge on death's door and sing with a full sinus infection. So we always really try our best to bring it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you saying how you do feel like you belong there, that's actually refreshing to hear, because a lot of people, like, would say the opposite. And, like, I feel like that's, which, you know, I'm sure that's a fine thing to think too. But, like, I think saying, like, no, like, we belong on this stage. And, you, like you said, you proved it when you're out there. Like, and you mentioned imposter syndrome before, but, like, having that aspect, that frame of mind going into a show like that, like, that had to have made it feel like 100 times better too. Like, we're just here to kill it, show them what we're about.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the imposter syndrome just kind of came from, like, not knowing what my role was. Like, oh, I play bass now and I do it professionally, so I must just be a professional bassist. I suck at it. You know, but, like, there's still that in the back of my mind. But when I really sit down and think about it, I also absolutely love songwriting. And I do sing as well. And I like to think I bring a certain amount of star power. Is that also fucking pretentious to say? Can I say that? Is everyone going to be like, oh, Raina's so full of herself?
No, absolutely whatever. Not.
I think it... like, do you want a good live show or not? You need a raging narcissist in order to make that happen, okay? Luckily, for you got like five of them in this band, so it works out. yeah, we just have fun up there, and... I come from a family that really likes working hard and being the best at what they do. Mm-hmm. And once I compartmentalize this as a job, kind of more, like, it's my job to bring the best live show.
Yeah.
Wear the fucking ball gown at the Ryman, goddammit. You better, you know what I mean? Like, this is a damn show. So, yeah.
Awesome. So let's talk a bit about the new record then. In Time came out, I guess, just last month, right?
Yeah.
So first off, was there like a theme to the record or anything you guys wanted to really get out there for people to think about or any kind of message, I guess?
No, it was just time for a new record. And Big John was very excited to have, you know, the band. This is the Lowdown Drifters. It's not Big John Cannon and the studio musicians. It's the Lowdown Drifters, right? And we found this producer that we absolutely love, Wes Sharon, out of Norman, Oklahoma. He's phenomenal. And he did all this Turnpike Records and that John Fulbright record. And when we met him, it was just instantaneous. Love that guy. I ended up cutting my own EP with him. We'll get to that.
And oh, yeah.
You know, this is back in January, and Big John had the songs picked out that were going to go on the record, and I showed him one that I had written, and he dropped one of the songs so we could put The Full Truth on the album and make it a duet and kind of have that help, you know, bring a, you know, incorporate a new sound into the Lowdown Drifters that isn't just Big John's gravelled voice punching you in the face.
For sure.
he's actually like very inclusive and he is very outspoken about, you know, how we do need to, you know, especially in the Texas scene, have more female representation. And also he loved the song and cried a whole bunch and didn't cry. Maybe he did. And it was cool to have that opportunity. I'm eternally grateful to him because it's done really well and it continues to draw more people to the band and then also helps my solo career as well.
Yeah, for sure. And kind of hitting off the like female representation out there, if you want to talk about it, some people like get a little weird about it, but what do you have any sort of like thoughts on how that is current day? Because I talked to like Gracie and Chris Lynn about it, and they all have their own opinions and stuff. I was just curious if you had any certain thoughts about how that's all going.
I think when I first started, like, it is really hard to not feel like there is some kind of conspiracy or like concerted effort to, you know, kind of keep women out of it. But I think that the fact of the matter is, and I could be totally wrong on this, so someone please correct me if I am wrong, but it just doesn't feel like there's a ton of women pursuing it, at least not at the rate that men are, and at least not in the Texas scene. I can't speak for any other genre. I only really know country music. That's about it.
Right.
I have no idea how shit works in like the indie scene. Like, don't ask me.
Right.
I think that this is really hard. I think that, you know, you got to think about what my day looks like. I have to get up at, I have to get up 2 hours earlier than the boys so that way I could shower and get ready.
Right.
And then I have to make it to van call. So what, that's, I have to get up at 7:30 if we have 9 a.m. van call. And then we have to drive to soundcheck at the next venue, which, depending on how far away the next show is, could be like 6-hour drive in a Sprinter van. We don't have a bus yet, so
you'll get there.
I'll get there. And then we don't have a road crew yet, so I have to help load in and set up. Then I have to soundcheck. And then I have to get something to eat at some point, somewhere in there. And then it's time to play the show. And then we gotta load out, and then we gotta go check in the hotel or sleep in the fucking van. There's no self-care time. There's no time for mental health. There's no skincare routine. There's no, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I've been really struggling to find that, especially now since they're putting me like as a face of the band. Like, this is the band. This is who we are. We have Raina. She you know what I mean? She's an integral part of this, and there's a lot more pictures being taken, a lot more videos, a lot more podcast interviews, you know? Yeah. So, and I'm not getting younger, and it's just really, really hard. And there's a lot of days where I'm like, I want to have a fucking house plant.
Yeah.
I can't even have that. Like, it doesn't get watered, you know? So.
Right.
You got to take all that into consideration. I think a lot of people just don't. When they're like, oh, you're keeping women down. I'm like, I mean, maybe. But mm-hmm. it's also just so much harder for us already, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, and at the end of the day, you're doing the same thing as the guys are. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know? And yeah, it's a weird subject, but like, it's true though. Like, it's there, it's a present thing that's going on. And I think it's just kind of a lot of people don't like to hit on it. And like, a lot of people who do hit on it are guys who sometimes have not the best opinion on it. So like, it's good to hear from the girls and women, I mean, who actually do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, the guys are pretty understanding of me, and there was a time, you know, in the first couple of years where I was just one of the guys, and it was mm-hmm. just like, yeah, wake up, throw something on, throw a hat on, go play. But I was also like drinking a fifth of Crown every day and just like flashing out to go to sleep. And
yeah,
so, like, I can totally hang as one of the boys if I get to look and act like one of the boys. But, you know, I had to make some changes for myself to be healthier. And the more success we gain, the more I feel like I'm under a microscope. And people on the outside think that it's a, you know, like, oh, we're seeing your name pop up. We're seeing your pictures pop up more. We're seeing you in more podcasts and media. So that must mean that you're very successful, you know, that you're gaining more and more success. But what they don't realize is that the money and luxury doesn't catch up with that.
Right.
Like, we're still loading in our own gear. We're still setting up our own stuff. And that's the thing. Now I'm seeing myself under a microscope more and in more pictures and wanting to look good. But I still have to do the same amount of work and struggle the same financially.
Yeah. You're right there along with the... Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing twice as much work.
Yeah. For sure. I like to say, I hope it's getting better, you know, like, I hope that whole issue is starting to shape out and all
that.
Yeah, well, I mean?
I mean, like I said, hard work.
Yeah.
Here I am.
Yeah. Yeah. And hard work. That's all it is, man. And so, let's talk a bit about your, own stuff, which is the reason I wanted to have you on today. So before we get into No More Sympathy, I want to talk about, which I'm curious, is how your writing style or your creative process, is it the same with your own stuff as it is with when you're working with the band? Or like, do you go about it a different way? How does that usually pan out?
I haven't done very much co-writing, just with like mm-hmm. a select few people that I really gel with. I remember it was a very daunting task when I first kind of started doing this professionally, and now I'm like, if it happens, it happens. I got my, mm-hmm. I got so much other stuff going on that that's not really a priority at the moment. But yeah, I guess with my own stuff, where is it? Where does it come from? I like so
that's
much.
That's kind of a cliche question to ask, yeah. But I try to make it, you know, kind of interesting.
I like so much different stuff and styles that I don't know where to pull from. And I also don't really want to out myself either.
I'm right.
Because, there's like this punk band that I love, and I've definitely like ripped off some chord progressions from them in my country songs, and I'm like, no one's gonna know because no one else that listens to my shit listens to them. And I'm sure everyone else is guilty of that. That's not like a new idea that I came up with either.
Yeah.
But you can definitely hear when my EP does come out that I do pull from a lot of places, and I think it's probably very similar with the Lowdown Drifters. I mean, Big John only writes like half the songs that the Drifters have. Ryan Klein writes majority of the other ones, and you know, I don't know much about Ryan's inspiration, but because I spend so much time with Big John, we have similar tastes. He also grew up in a punk scene, and
right,
you know, he pulls from that and loves really heartfelt songwriters that just pour their souls out over the guitar. And you know, I love that too, but I'm also like not immune to being like a pop girly. Like I'll appreciate like a good pop song, or and it's super cool right now with the way the scene is going to see more people just kind of like, fuck it, we're alternative, you know. It's you know, who doesn't like Treaty Oak? Come on. Like,
I know. Yeah, like, exactly.
If you don't fucking like Treaty Oak, like, you're a hater, dude.
Yeah. And I feel like in the Texas scene and then like the culture that you guys are all kind of put into, like, there's no fucking rules anymore about that. Like, there's no genres. Like, you play whatever the hell you want. And like, if you like it, you like it. Like, I think that's especially true in that Red Dirt or Texas scene, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think too, like, it's nice to see, because I've had this issue before in which I've been on songwriter rounds where they're like, oh, we put you in the same time slot as all the ladies.
Oh, man. Yeah, I never thought about that.
And I'm like, Sam, you've listened to my single.
Yeah.
What does it sound like?
Who else? It's like, I mean, it's definitely, it's, you say you like the punk stuff, and I could definitely get the edge to it. Not like the edge, like, oh, I'm trying to be edgy, but it's actual edge, and it's hard stuff that, and like, I saw you fucking play. Weren't you like going, did you play electric at the round? And like, did you have the full band, or am I thinking of someone else?
I played electric bass because I couldn't bring my upright. So usually I sing and play upright. But yeah, I had my electric bass and full band.
Yeah. That, well, it killed. And I think that's what, like, I think you need. They needed to have you do that, the full band, to really get what you're about, in my opinion. And like, that's just what I think. I'm also a nerd when it comes to live band stuff. So, but anyway, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm just all over the place with my songwriting. No More Sympathy was just an easy one. It was in one of my older songs. I don't feel that same amount of angst that I used to. You know, now I'm getting older, and it's like when you meet someone who's shitty, you're just kind of like, yeah, that person's shitty.
Right.
But when you're younger, you have to like go through the process of like, no, I am your friend. Why are you still being shitty?
Right.
But when you reach a certain age, like, you go through enough of that, if you're like, peace.
Peace out.
You're a dickhead.
don't have the energy for it anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So that song was about just like one person that was just a raging narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
And everything in that song is basically true.
Yeah.
And the worst part is, every person I meet that likes that song is like, I have one person to know exactly who that song reminds me of every time I hear it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. Like, it's really nice knowing that I can write about something that's hyper specific, but still appeal to like a wide audience. It's kind of a cool.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what I was actually going to bring that up next, because I feel like that is, there's a lot of traits for a good songwriter. And I feel like that's definitely in that list, because if you can, I could just speak from my opinion with music and stuff. But like, if I hear a song from a songwriter that's specifically about a person or an event, and it's just, and it's very clear that that's what they're talking about. Like, that is about this certain person in the world. It's just like, okay, cool. I can't really relate to it, but whatever. But like, if you could phone it in from a person, a specific person, and still you're able to relate it to any person anyone else would know, I feel like that's kind of like a next level kind of thing, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I mean, I personally get like bored really easily with, you know, the same thing all the time. Yeah. And So when I'm songwriting, I can't just like sit down and just write like whenever it's another love song, another heartbreak song, whatever. Like it has to be something so specific that I don't feel has been done yet, or at least done in my way. I actually thought that single, No More Sympathy, it was never supposed to be recorded. But Dirty, our guitarist, liked it so much. He's like, that's a banger. That's a barn burner. Like, you should cut it. Put it as a single. I was like, all right, shit, we'll see, you know. But personally, as a songwriter, I think it's like a really dumb fucking song. It's just yeah. I'm like roasting myself now. It's three chords. No bridge. Not a single metaphor in the entire song. It's just hyper-specific and paints a picture, and I guess every person has been in a similar situation, and, you know, if anyone else out there knows of any songs of similar subject, make a playlist, so that way we could all listen to it when we encounter these people or break up with our exes.
Yeah, but like, I don't think everything needs a metaphor. I'm a dummy, and sometimes when I'm trying to figure out what a song means, not saying your song's dumbed down, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, sometimes it's like, I lose interest, or like the appeal to a song goes down because I don't freaking get it. And it's just like, being able to have a good song that's also straightforward to me, like, I think that's like, kind of the winning combo, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think one of the hardest things as a songwriter is to write a song that's interesting and only two chords. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, that's way harder than, you know, writing a much more intricate song. So there is something to be said. I like your perspective on that. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. But
a compliment.
that's just my opinion. But let's talk about, you keep mentioning your EP that you're cutting. So what do we have in store with that? What's that all looking to be like?
I have another single coming out pretty soon. I don't have a date nailed down yet, but it's all done. Just getting mixed and mastered, and then it should be out sometime next year. I'll be sure to post the release date, do all the proper promotion and PR for it, and send off, get the write-ups, go to radio. The songs that are riddled with curse words. I remember for a second. I had this ex that would like, he had a punk project, but he would always bitch about how he's like, you shouldn't put curse words in songs. It's just like tacky and cheap and like, you know, what are you trying to prove? And I'm like, motherfucker, I talk like this.
Yeah, for real.
I'm in a damn rock and roll band. Like, this is how I talk, so that's how I'm gonna write. Like, sometimes you just kind of need it in order to really get a point across, which I have a lot of points to get across. So the next single I have coming out is called It's Different This Time, and it's also angry and hilarious. And then that's it. That's all the angry songs that are left on the album, I promise. There's no more. That's, you know, Miranda Lambert left some pretty big shoes to fill when she stopped making men-hating songs. So here I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
No, we need them back. We need a fresh new look on it.
I don't hate men.
Yeah.
Like, it's different this time. That one's just really comedic, but No More Sympathy, that could be about anyone. If you go listen to it, I've had so many people tell me, I mean, even full names, and they're like, this motherfucker, you had to have written it about this motherfucker. And I'm like, apparently there's a lot more narcissists out there than just...
Oh yeah, the world is full of them, but it's good we have songs to help us, you know, get that feeling out.
I mean, I think it's way worse when you have that level of heartbreak from a friend, I think, than a significant other, and I don't think that there's enough songs about that, really.
Yeah, And with friends, this is turning into like a therapy podcast, but I'm totally fine with it. But with friends, I think like if they're narcissists, and I know some of my friends listen to this, but I don't get all freaked out, friends. But I feel like if it is like a friend and they're a narcissist, it's like almost harder to confront them about it than it is a significant other. If like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It is different, and it is cool to be able to poetically and cathartically like get it out there and have it also be a way to like a way of release for other people that are mm-hmm. experiencing something similar.
Yeah, right on. So Raina, this was a lot of fun. This is a fun conversation. I'm glad to have you. Sorry about the technical difficulty that I promised we wouldn't have, but we had it anyway. But
Well, hopefully I didn't shit talk too much, and hopefully I don't get blacklisted.
We love that. You guys can say whatever you want when you're on here. I don't care. But before we go though, if you have any like dates coming up, anything you want to promote. Obviously, we talked about your music, but anything you want to throw out there to promote, go ahead.
Oh yeah, Lowdown. We're doing a run in January with Wade Forster. It's coming up full band from Australia, so that could be a lot of fun. That's when we're playing Canes, so look out for those dates. And then we're also doing Steamboat this year, Music Fest at Steamboat. So
that'll be fun.
It'll be a lot of fun. Hopefully, we don't die.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope not, but
if you know, you know.
Yeah, so. But yeah, like I said, thanks for hopping on, Raina. Everyone, make sure to check out her new single, No More Sympathy. Also, check out Lowdown Drifters, of course, and their new album, In Time. Great music. Stands out, which I think is the important thing, because we all find ourselves listening to music, and we try to find new stuff that just goes right over our heads, and you kind of one ear out the other. But this stuff is good shit. So if you value my opinion at all, I definitely say go listen to it because it's good. And also check out Rage Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on all the socials, all that stuff. Just Google us. And do you have any socials, by the way? Your personal stuff, anything you want to throw out there?
Yeah, I'm most active on Instagram, Raina Lawless Wallace, and RainaWallace.com.
Right on. So, yeah, Raina, thanks for hopping on. It's been a fun time, and hope to talk to you again soon. Thanks, everyone else, for listening. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Sam. Yeah. My boots would look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? 'Cause baby, I'm